had our next guest on with us before, gave us some great information, and he is doing something that we've never heard of anybody doing before. He's going to be giving books away to anybody who asks for them, so I'll tell you how you can get a book in just a second. He is Hillel L. Presser. He serves on the Nova Southeastern University President's Advisory Council. He's a contributor to Forbes magazine, Sports Illustrated, The Robb Report, and the Los Angeles Times. His book is called Financial Self-Defense, How to Protect Everything You Own from Everyone, Every Time. And he's going to tell you how you can get a free book. But let's find out what's in the book first and say good morning to Hillel. Good morning, Hillel.
Good morning. Thanks for having me today, guys.
You're welcome. Where are you? Where are you calling from?
Calling you from Deerfield Beach, Florida.
Oh, not too far.
Not at all.
I don't know why I thought you were on the West Coast. Well, thank you for coming, and probably because of your contributions to the Los Angeles Times.
It's my pleasure. I appreciate you guys having me.
Are we, because of the, it seems like the economy is always, you know, ebbing and flowing, I guess they say, and I don't know what we're doing now. I guess we're starting to flow, but does what we need to do to protect ourselves change as the economy changes?
Well, I think it does. I mean, you know, now we have, you know, kind of a downturn and a bad economy where, unfortunately, a lot of people have lost their jobs, and, you know, the people who are lucky enough to keep the jobs that they have are getting paid less and less. So what we're seeing as attorneys is that, you know, lawsuits are really the next biggest business. You know, anybody can hire an attorney for free on a contingency fee basis, sue somebody, and even if it's not a valid case, you know, probably milk out a few $1,000 just on nuisance value. Compare that and contrast that when we have good times where people are making lots of money. I mean, certainly they want to protect it, you know, in both cases. So whether you're making a little money or making a lot of money, certainly you want to protect it.
You know, there is in the news the story about Zimmerman's wife not revealing their assets. And I was wondering, is that, I mean, are we, how do you say this, are we not protected to conceal what we have? Are we supposed to be upfront and honest about how much money we have in the bank at all times, or is this a specific case because of the case?
I think that's more of a specific case. You know, what you have in the bank is really private, and, you know, it's your personal business and nobody else's. You know, with that being said, certainly if you're sued, certainly if there's a judgment against you, and if somebody deposes you under oath, you know, you have a legal and ethical duty, obviously, to tell the truth. So absent some small circumstances, you know, it really should be kept as a private matter, but I would say, you know, without totally getting into the Zimmerman case, I think that would be, you know, an extraordinary or special circumstance.
Okay. Now, with that said, and bringing up some of these legal things, you have in the prep material here some interesting cases, and I want you to tell me how this applies to us, as disturbing as these are these things we need to worry about ourselves? One of them is about these children, or adult children, right, in Illinois. Tell me about them.
Well, you know, there's so many frivolous lawsuits, and I think that's kind of what you're referring to. I mean, there was children who sued their mother for, you know, quote-unquote bad mothering. You know, they said that she haggled with them over dress prices, gave them a curfew, and failed to send them, you know, gift packages in college. I think the children sued for like $50,000. My favorite was the burglar who took some people hostage. When he got caught at the end, he actually sued them, claiming that they had agreed to help him escape, and they sued him under the theory of, you know, oral contract, breach of oral contract, which obviously is just absolute crazy. But, you know, it just goes to show you that, you know, you can be sued for anything. You know, whether it's a real lawsuit or a frivolous lawsuit, you know, you don't really need much merit, you know, unfortunately, in this country to sue. On top of that, you know, nobody wakes up in the morning expecting to be sued. You know, you never know when you're going to get in a car accident. You never know, you know, when one of your customers or suppliers or business partners is going to sue you. So I always tell my clients, you know, prepare for the worst, hope for the best, you know, make sure you get buttoned up and protect yourself, you know, that way, you know, you don't lose what you've worked your whole life to obtain.
Okay. Now, explain what a postnuptial agreement is. We've heard of prenuptials. What is postnuptial?
Sure. A prenuptial agreement is obviously an agreement that's signed before you get married. A postnuptial agreement is something that you sign after you've been married. You know, can't hurt to have both of them. Can't hurt to have all of them and an asset protection plan. You know, a lot of times people ask, hey, is a prenup or a postnup enough? Or on the other hand, is asset protection enough? And I always tell my clients, you know, layer yourself as much as possible. Put as many firewalls as possible. You know, I call it the belt and suspenders approach.
Oh, wow.
You bring out in your book that judgments against a person never goes away, that they can follow you forever.
Yeah, people can renew them for a very, very long time. So what you want to do is put an asset protection plan together and sell your plan. You know, if you could sell your plan and convince plaintiff's attorneys that you're uncollectible, you know, they're not going to want to sue you in the first place. You know, if somebody does sue you and gets a judgment against you, maybe you can use your asset protection plan to settle for 10, 15, 20 cents on the dollar.
Do you know what I don't quite understand in today's new world? In the old world, if I put my money in the bank is basically telling me, you know what, we'll take care of your money, and it's insured by the FDIC, right?
Yep.
Okay. So nowadays, I put my money in the bank, and that's all well and good, but if somebody steals it through identity theft, well, then you're on your own. Unless you pay this $15 a month fee.
Yeah.
So you have to pay extra for them to do the job that they were set up to do in the first place.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're getting ultimately to customer service, which I just think doesn't exist anymore in any business. You know, nobody wants to work. Everybody wants to make money, but nobody wants to put the time and effort in, to have a professional craft or service. And it's just crazy what people charge you for. And the crazier thing is that people even pay them.
Yeah, well, I do. I pay that $15 because I sat at the desk across from the lady, nice lady, and she explained to me that if somebody were to, you know, go on my internet and hack in and get my numbers, mm-hmm. that they could steal my money, but this $15 a month plan would protect that.
Well, I hate to kill your dreams, but my father always used to say,
yeah?
The big print giveth, the small print taketh away, and I can guarantee you in the agreement you signed, there's probably, an exclusion under page 7, subsection 2, parentheses A, that says if you don't do this, they don't cover it. I mean, you know the story. Nobody wants to ever pay out.
Okay.
That's right.
But now your whole, I mean, the big thing that you're providing for us is how to protect those assets, right?
Correct. I tell every client, I'll never make you a penny richer, but I will help you protect what you have. You know, people work their whole life to save up money to retire, and they never really focus on protecting it. They just focus on earning it. And the challenge that I give in my book is for every 60 minutes you spend making money, spend 60 seconds thinking about how to protect it. And again, as a special courtesy, if any of your listeners go to my website, it's www.assetprotectionattorneys.com. As long as they mention your show, fill out the contact us form, I'll send them a free copy.
Okay.
You mentioned in your book about offshore accounts. Is that a thing of the past, or are people still doing that?
Not at all. I mean, international accounts, there's nothing wrong with them. There's something very wrong with having them and not reporting them. So, you know, international asset protection is much stronger than domestic asset protection, but you definitely need to make sure that you're doing everything legally and ethically, and you need to make sure that you're always reporting, you know, to the IRS, the Treasury Department, you know, filling out all the proper reporting requirements. You know, you don't want to just go set up some international accounts and not report them. That is totally illegal and totally unethical. So, again, make sure, you know, you obviously call an experienced asset protection attorney, you know, so you do things the right way.
You know, I often thought that, well, they won't bother with me, meaning the thieves, you know, whoever those thieves are, and they wouldn't bother with me because I'm a small-time, you know, there's no real benefit in hacking into me because I don't have much to hack into. And then my son told me a story that troubled me, and fortunately his bank refunded the money. Somebody, he does these online games, okay, and sometimes you pay for things on these games, I think, and I don't know that he's ever paid for anything on a game, but you can do it. You can buy whatever. Who knows? Well, somebody was somehow using his money, his real money, to buy things in these virtual games.
Yeah, you know, the internet's been such a blessing, and it's really opened up the world of business and social media and really everything for everyone. But the problem is, you know, with every advantage comes disadvantages, and, you know, we're at the point where, you know, if somebody wants to know something about you, if somebody wants your credit card company, your credit card number, excuse me, they're going to get it. I mean, everything's available on the internet. So, you know, with the good comes the bad.
Yeah.
And you have to be careful with your social security number, too, because people will try to sell you things, and then even if you don't want that, they'll say, well, we've got this contest and you might win this prize, but you have to provide us with your Social Security number. And how many people fall into that trap?
Yeah, unfortunately, people prey on anybody who's willing. And, you know, again, there's so many people out there that, you know, no fault to them. You know, they're trusting, they're good people. And unfortunately, you know, they get taken advantage of.
All right. Well, here's what I want to do. I want to reintroduce you and then make sure I mention again the offer that you've given all of us. Hillel L. Presser is our guest. He's been with us before. Hillel, you're an attorney, right?
Correct.
Hillel is an attorney. And down in, where are you again?
South Florida, Deerfield Beach, Boca Raton area.
Okay. And the book he has written is called Financial Self-Defense. As he puts it, he won't help you make money, but he'll help you keep your money. And he's given the book away. And the way that you get a free book is by going to his website, which is assetprotectionattorneys.com. And then I guess you got to mention WOCA somehow, right?
Yeah, if they just go to assetprotectionattorneys.com, lower left-hand corner, there's a Contact Us form. As long as they mention your show, I'm sending them a free book.
All right.
One of the most wonderful things about your book is that it is geared toward the minimum wage worker all the way to the people that own their businesses, and you introduced a new plan to me, which I wasn't aware of, a 412i plan.
Yeah, and you know what it is lawsuits, they just don't discriminate. You know, they'll sue anybody and anyone, and I just tell my clients, you know, the smaller amount of money you have, the greater need to protect it.
When we talk about people who might take our money, we think in terms of thieves, and I guess that's a loose term nowadays, because sometimes those quote-unquote thieves can be the IRS, and maybe the word thief isn't right, but I mean, if the IRS, for example, garnishes your wage, your earnings, well, maybe that's legal, maybe they're allowed to do that, so therefore they're not a thief, but at the same time, I mean, how are you going to live if they're garnishing your wages? Is there a way to protect against that?
Well, you know, in terms of garnishments, depending where you live, there's different, you know, state and federal laws, but the most that any creditor can ever garnish is 25% of your wages. But, you know, you bring up the perfect point, which is that you never know who's going to sue you. I mean, I have people walk into my office, they're being sued by their children, by their grandmother. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. So the people who you think would be your best friends and that you don't have to worry about, ex-business partners, whatever, whoever it may be, those are the people who end up turning around and suing you.
Okay, now let's talk about business just for a second. And again, you're the attorney, so help me understand this. And I don't know much about this, but I heard that if I started a business and I incorporated it, then nobody could sue me and get to that money. They could only get to my personal money.
Well, for the most part, you're correct. What you're talking about is if you start a business entity, like you mentioned, a C-Corp or an S-Corp, if you have a customer or a supplier or somebody suing you, more than likely they can only go after your business assets and cannot go after you personally. Now, with that being said, there's different ways they can try and what's called pierce the corporate veil and go after you personally. But, you know, for the majority, you are correct. But what I always tell clients is, what about the other way around? You know, we've just talked about how your personal assets can be protected by business lawsuits, you know, by using these S-Corps or C-Corps. But what if you're sued personally? What if it's not a business issue? What if you're sued personally for a short sale or foreclosure deficiency, a car accident, a breach of contract, whatever the lawsuit is, it's a personal lawsuit. Those shares that you own in your S-Corp or your C-Corp, they are an asset. And that creditor can actually go after your business and take over your company.
I really enjoy the part about the safety deposit box. I never knew that before. You need to elaborate on that.
Well, you know, safety deposit boxes are always good. I mean, it's always a good place. You know, again, you always want to make sure that you're doing things legal, you're doing things ethical. You know, if you're ever deposed under oath, you know, you always want to make sure you never perjure yourself and, you know, always doing the correct things. But, you know, anything you can have, you know, to help you. I mean, we didn't make up the tools. We didn't make up bankruptcy or S-Corps or C-Corps or LLCs or limited partnerships. You know, we didn't make those up. We just find the ways to use them to your advantage. So there's a lot of good tools out there that you can use, and there's no reason why you shouldn't be using them.
Does bankruptcy protect you or hurt you?
You know, I try and tell my clients do anything and everything they can to stay out of bankruptcy because it's just a whole nother animal. You know, could it protect you? It could protect someone who has a lot of debts and no assets. But if you have assets, if you really have something to lose, you don't want to be in bankruptcy.
The book is called Financial Self-Defense, How to Protect Everything You Own from Everyone, Every Time. And this is good information based on all the scary stories you've been telling or hinting at. Hillel Alpresser is the author of the book, and he's actually giving it away. There's a price tag on it, $16.95, but he is giving it away. If you want one, you have to go to his website, and that is assetprotectionattorneys.com, and make sure it's that you mention WOCA and this show so that you can be in line for that. Does it differ from state to state? Is the information good across the country and even outside the country?
You know, the majority of it is good across the country and outside of the country, but obviously if you live in different states, you're going to have what's called different exemptions. Exemptions are different classes of assets that are protected based on your state law. So, for example, in Florida, the one you guys have probably heard about the most is obviously the homestead, that your house is protected. You know, that's not the case in every state. So when it comes to exemptions, definitely check with an asset protection attorney to see what's exempt in your state. It might be life insurance, it might be annuities, it might be your primary residence, but just make sure that you know what is and what is not protected by statute in your state.
Let me ask you something. You just said that in Florida our homestead protects our primary residence, correct?
Correct.
That's what it is. I don't think you said it that way, but I think that's what the rule is. What I don't understand about that is how can, like a homeowners association, foreclose on a homeowner who owns the home, but is foreclosing because of a lack of payment of the homeowner association dues?
Well, the way it works is, first of all, if you're a Florida resident and you have a primary home that you live in, that house is protected from all creditors. So if you're sued, if you're in a car accident, or whatever the reason is, nobody can take your house. With that being said, there's some rules. If it's within the city limits, it has to be on less than half an acre. If it's outside the city limits, it has to be on less than 160 acres. But what you bring up is an exception, and there are about two or three exceptions. Number one is the government. You know, if you don't pay your taxes, certainly they can take your house. Number two is if somebody does work at your house, you put in a new kitchen, you know, a new roof, whatever it is, you know, they can take your house if you don't pay them. And the third one is obviously if you have a mortgage on your house or you owe HOA fees, they can foreclose on your house. So they're one of the very small exceptions, but yes, if you don't pay your HOAs or if you certainly don't pay the mortgage on your house, then there could be a foreclosure action taken.
Okay, so help me understand, how do you protect yourself from that? That's what we're talking about, how to protect yourself. How do you in those exceptions?
Well, you know, you could take loans. I mean, if you have a house that's worth $300,000, take a line of credit or a loan out for $300,000 or obviously as much as the bank will give you. You know, that way, even if somebody forecloses on you, there's no equity there. So, in regards to that specific situation, I would tell a client to equity strip the home and make it as valueless as possible. That way, they're not a good candidate for a lawsuit.
Now, how about the people that sometimes people will buy homes for their children, and maybe they don't have the total amount of dollars to purchase the entire home, so they put a sizable amount down, and then they take out a loan for the rest of the home. Should that loan be taken out in the person that's giving the gift and they're going to be making the payments, or should that home be put in the name of the child, but the parent is the one that's making the payments? How can that child be protected in case something unforeseen happens?
You know, that's really a tough question to answer because it's really, situation driven. I mean, it's going to depend on the child and the parent. It's also going to depend on what state they live in. You know, they might want to put the house in the child's name if there's homestead protection. You know, that way the house is protected from creditors. You know, that's if the parents truly want to give a gift to the kid. The parents might want to buy a house for the kid, but they might want to keep it in their name. So they might want to set up an LLC or some sort of trust or limited partnership for the house as well. Really, it's going to depend on the facts of the case.
And does it typically cost to protect? You have to pay something for protection?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do free. Like I said, exemptions. So in Florida, your life insurance is protected. Your annuities are protected. Your primary home is protected. So there's a lot of things that you can do from a protection standpoint free that won't cost you a penny. But there's also a lot of things that are going to cost you money. But, you know, again, it's a one-time investment. I wouldn't look at it as an expense. I'd look at it as an investment. It's something that if you do it properly, you do one time, and then you're buttoned up forever.
Okay, and if you own some rental properties, the possibility that a tenant might sue you, could you lose that property that he is renting from you?
You can lose not only the property, but you can lose any personal assets as well. You know, if you own that rental property in your name and they get hurt, they can go after any assets that you have. So if you ever have a vacation home, a second home, a rental property, you never want to own that personally. Again, speak to an asset protection attorney because everyone's different, but you might want to put it in an LLC. You might want to put it in some sort of trust, but certainly you don't want it in your personal name.
So that's totally opposite of people believe that if they're married and then one person is the person that makes the money and the other person, you know, likes to stay home and raise the children, to have all of that, to have everything in, say, her name because she stays home, raises the children and all, that still isn't any guarantee that if you, the worker, get sued, she won't get sued.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of doctors do that, and I'm not a firm believer in that because, you know, she's got her own issues, and who knows if she gets in a car accident while she's taking the kids to soccer practice. So, you know, you want to get everything out of your personal name, and you want to put them in protective entities such as LLCs, limited partnerships, trusts, and again, all that stuff's in the book, and for any of your listeners, if they go to our website at assetprotectionattorneys.com, fill out the contact us form on the lower left hand corner. As long as they mention your show, we'll send them that book for free so they can educate themselves.
Is the book also an ebook?
You know, it's not offered an ebook via the web, but we are going to have that up shortly.
Okay. We actually have two copies here, right, Robin?
Mm-hmm.
Two that Hillel sent us, so I will give these two away. But, and again, I mentioned this at the beginning, I don't think we've had a guest who's done this, just give the book away. So you have two here. If you would like the two that Robin and I have, you are welcome to them. Just call us. We'll put your names on them. But if you're not one of those first two callers who claims the book, just go to Hillel's website, assetprotectionattorneys.com. And fill out the WOCA. Make sure you mention that you heard it here, and you'll get a free book sent to you. Good morning. You want the first one?
Yes, I'd like to have that. I own two houses, and I really hadn't considered asset protection. But it sounds like something I really need to learn more about.
Okay, and who's this?
My name's Jay.
Jerry?
I've talked to you before. Jay, J-A-Y.
Okay, Jay, you've got it. And you know where we are, right?
Yep.
Okay, you've got it.
And okay, thank you.
You're welcome. It'll be waiting for you. Let me give the other one away. And then remember, you can still get a free one on Hillel's website. Good morning. You want the other book?
Yes, sir.
And who's this?
William James.
William James. Okay, William.
Yes, sir.
And you know where we are, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you got it.
Thank you, sir.
All right. And so that's the two that Hillel sent us. The others, the first time I've ever been able to say this, you can get them for free, everybody. Just mention WOCA. That's going to be your meal ticket right there. Well, hello. Thank you so much for coming back on the air with us. If you're ever in the area, come into the studio and do this.
I will for sure, and you guys have a great weekend, and thanks for having me.